Hello, it's January 2023 and this is my 320th video since I started recording them early in 2020. And in this video I'm going to explain how hospitals have become death camps and how many doctors and nurses have abandoned their healing roles and have become murderers. No apologies for what sounds like hyperbole, because I'll show you that it isn't. This video is all about how and why so many hospitals have become modern killing fields, 21st century death camps. I'm going to start by telling you about a woman in her early 70s whose story is significant, to say the least. She'd been in good health when suddenly, unexpectedly, she collapsed, and after the now customary 8-hour wait for an ambulance, eventually found herself in hospital. She was unconscious, and a junior doctor eventually diagnosed that she'd had a stroke. It wasn't a difficult diagnosis, it was what her husband, her son and the paramedics had all diagnosed. Eventually they found a bed for her and the doctors confessed that there wasn't much they could do. "How long will it be before we know anything?" asked the woman's husband. "She could be like this for days, for weeks or for months," replied the doctor, the one who had made the diagnosis. "We don't want a do not resuscitate notice putting on her notes," said the son, who'd read about such things and whose wife was a nurse working in another hospital. "Of course not," said the doctor. He then went away and the husband and the son saw him talking to two nurses. By now it was late in the evening. The doctor disappeared, but one of the nurses arrived at the bedside. She was carrying a syringe. "She could be like this for months," said the nurse. "She could be suffering a great deal, but she's unconscious," pointed out the son. His mother, who was breathing normally, seemed to be quite peaceful. "We've decided to give her something to help her," said the nurse. "What is it?" asked the husband. "It's two medicines," said the nurse. "It's a mixture of midazolam and morphine. It'll help her rest. We don't want her suffering. She could be like this for months." After giving the injection, the nurse suggested that the husband and the son went home. When they returned to the hospital the following morning, their wife and mother was dead. "We were just about to call you," said another nurse, who seemed very sympathetic. The doctor came. He too was sympathetic. It was only afterwards, when they were at home, that the man and his son realized that their wife and mother had been killed. Deliberately, cold-bloodedly killed. There had been absolutely no reason to give the now infamous and widely used kill shot of midazolam and morphine. "People who've had strokes can make a full recovery," said the woman's daughter-in-law as they talked when they were back home. "I remember that film star, Patricia Neal," said the husband. "Her husband was Roald Dahl. She made films again, despite having had a stroke." The three of them were numb. It didn't occur to them that they'd just witnessed a murder. But that's what it was. It wasn't euthanasia. It wasn't mercy killing. It certainly wasn't treatment. The hospital staff killed that woman because stroke victims can take months to recover. They didn't want a woman over 70 using a bed on one of their wards. Beds have been in short supply in British hospitals for years. There are fewer beds than bureaucrats. And it wasn't manslaughter either. By any definition, it was premeditated, cold-blooded murder. Murder, remember, is the unlawful premeditated murder, the unlawful premeditated killing of one human being by another. What else would you call it when a patient in hospital is killed without their consent, and without the consent of relatives, and without the consent of a court of law? Nor was this incident rare. Pretty much the same thing is happening every day in hospitals all around the world. Staff put patients to sleep in the same way that a vet might put a dog or a cat to sleep. They kill patients whom they think might need a good deal of nursing or medical care. What is happening is exactly what I predicted almost 3 years ago at the beginning of 2020, when I warned that one of the reasons for the COVID fraud was to find an excuse to kill the elderly and to save billions on pension payments. The government's boasted about the money they've saved. In my book, Coming Apocalypse, which was published in April 2020, right at the start of this fraud, I said that life would never again be as good as it was in January 2020, and I stand by that, I'm afraid. Those who sneered might perhaps like to think again. I've been lied about and banned, but everything I've said, written and predicted has been accurate. I wish it hadn't been. In many hospitals all around the world, the term palliative care ward is now a synonym for death camp, as the killing of the elderly, which started in 2020, gathers pace. First, there was the Liverpool care pathway, whereby elderly patients were deliberately starved to death or deprived of fluid until they died. Then the United Nations effectively allowed doctors around the world to kill people over the age of 70 without anyone caring. And care home staff were allowed to dose the elderly with tranquilizers and sleeping tablets without telling the patients or their relatives what was happening. It was and is all perfectly legal. Now, of course, there aren't as many care home staff as there were. Thousands of them left their jobs when they were told they had to have a dangerous, ineffective COVID jab, a so-called vaccine which they knew from observation was a killer. And there's the kill shot, the mixture of midazolam and morphine which takes medical care one step further than the do not resuscitate notice casually scrawled on the medical notes of anyone who looks too sick to bother with. I described it as murder in the early summer of 2020. And that's what it still is. At the moment, of course, it's usually anyone over 70 or anyone disabled or chronically sick, whether physically or mentally ill, who gets murdered. Though in some hospitals, anyone over 65 is vulnerable, and soon it'll be anyone over 60, and then it'll be anyone over 50, and then the slippery slope gets ever steeper. Doctors and nurses who have the power of death over life are murdering people every day in our hospitals, and no one gives a damn. I suspect that the doctors and nurses don't even realise that what they're doing isn't just ethically wrong, it's also legally wrong. It's the reason anyone over 60 or anyone ill should do everything they can to keep out of hospitals. And if they have to go in, to do everything they can to get out as quickly as possible. Britain's the worst country in the developed world for healthcare, I'm afraid. Of course, the midazolam and morphine kill shot isn't new. What's new is the way that it's become part of hospital culture. It came in the slipstream of COVID-19, the fake pandemic of 2020, and now it's commonplace. And the kill shot, a single jab of death, isn't the only way doctors and nurses are guilty of mass murder. Right from the start, politicians, journalists and doctors have lied, lied and lied again as they fought against the facts to sell us a fake pandemic and a dangerous drug that never did what it was said to do. In 2020, the medical profession became obsessed with COVID-19, even though it was provably nothing more than the rebranded flu. It was the most over-promoted scare in history, a deliberately created fake pandemic. Doctors and nurses were either too stupid or too greedy to see the truth, and they became part of the biggest crime in history. They became professional killers, assassins working for the conspirators. They created a fake pandemic out of the ordinary annual flu by claiming that everyone who tested positive for COVID and subsequently died, even weeks or months later, was a COVID victim. They used a test, the PCR test, which everyone knew didn't work. And hospitals in many countries received a cash bonus for every COVID diagnosis they made. They were bribed to lie. In America, hospitals were given $13,000 for every patient they diagnosed with COVID-19. If a patient needed to be put on a ventilator, the hospital received a bonus of $39,000. What a surprise that so many patients needed to be put on ventilators, which killed many. The bonus system was used all around the world, another coincidence, and in some countries the staff got part of the cash bonus. Kickbacks, I think they usually call them. Anyone who believes there was a pandemic in 2020 is either a fool or a liar or both. Anyone who says the COVID jab was necessary, effective and safe is a fool or a liar or both. Any national TV host who thinks they can prove me wrong can fix up a live TV debate. And they won't, of course, because they'd lose and the government wouldn't let them anyway. I'm banned from all TV and radio, and I'm banned from most of the internet too, for simply telling the truth. The last time an internet radio station interviewed me, months ago, nearly a quarter of the interview mysteriously disappeared. The time before that, the station lost its ability to raise money because they'd interviewed me. I'm banned because they know damn well I'm right, and it's important to protect the lies in order to keep the conspiracy alive. There was a time long ago when information was powerful. Today, the truth's the world's most dangerous commodity. There's no freedom of speech. The authorities even banned David Icke from travelling to mainland Europe, presumably worried that he might wake up some sleeping souls. The patients who tested positive with the PCR test, a dangerous, useless test everyone knew didn't work and might kill people, and it has killed people. See my video. This needs to be stopped now. The people who tested positive were dumped on a COVID ward and treated as though all that was wrong with them was that they'd got the rebranded flu, even if they didn't have any flu symptoms at all. Some were given dangerous drugs that didn't work. But thousands did not receive the treatment they did need because they'd been wrongly diagnosed as COVID patients. Patients who needed specialist surgery, dialysis or other treatment didn't receive it because they'd been falsely branded as suffering from COVID, the rebranded flu. They couldn't be transferred to specialist units, so they died, and they were put down as COVID deaths. They died because they were misdiagnosed and denied treatment. It was and is genocide. It was official healthcare policy. GPs had disappeared. They'd abandoned their patients in case they got the annual flu. And hospitals became killing grounds. And while all this was happening, hospital departments shut. Cancer-related surgery dropped by 26% in the UK in 2020. In contrast, there was a 0.6% fall in Denmark. Doctors and nurses betrayed their patients, their professions, and themselves. The medical establishment, collective victims of the world's most egregious confidence trick, had decided that global warming was the healthcare threat. And so they decided there should be less testing and treating of patients. I've dealt with this extraordinary nonsense many times. What's been happening is all part of the killing, the genocide, the plan to reduce the global population and the plan to appease the few idiotic pseudoscientists and children who claim quite wrongly and without evidence that man has made his planet unbearably hot. Or is it unbearably cold? They change their minds a lot. They've been wound up and misdirected by conspirators who have been since the 1940s been concerned about the disappearing oil and convinced that the population needs culling. And the killing is working well. In 2020, the year of the fake pandemic, the total number of deaths was normal. Check it out, I proved that. But in 2021 and 2022, when COVID virtually disappeared and was replaced by the returning ordinary flu, the death totals suddenly soared, and they're still now way above normal, all predicted. That was no mystery. In America, over 100,000 young people died or were made seriously ill after being given the experimental jab that didn't work and wasn't safe. Today, previously healthy people all over the world are dropping like flies. Journalists and doctors struggle to find bizarre new explanations for sudden adult death syndrome. But it was all predictable. I predicted it would happen in 2020. Check out my old videos on www.vernoncolman.org. The transcripts are all still there. The original videos on YouTube, of course, were deleted years ago. And the videos on brand YouTube got deleted for a long time by hackers. Today, those who had the COVID jab have altered immune systems and their hearts are in danger. The predictions I made about that in 2020, 2021 and 2022 are either already true or they're coming true very rapidly. Those who've been jabbed need to avoid strenuous exercise and stress, eat carefully and boost their immune systems. The ignorant, the susceptible and the half awake think that COVID is a dangerous bioweapon. The mainstream media want us to believe it's a bioweapon so that the ignorant believe COVID, the rebranded flu, is a deadly disease. And they use it to cover up the COVID vax injuries. They blame the rebranded flu for all the deaths caused by the COVID jab, which is surely the most dangerous drug in history. The COVID jab's creators and promoters were praised to the skies, but they produced something that was, in my view, not tested properly, doesn't do what they promised it would do, and isn't safe. And because I've told you the truth about the genocide, about COVID, and about the dangerous COVID jabs, I'm considered dangerous and must be silenced. Please don't forget to watch my friend Dr. Colin Barron, who's back making wonderful videos, and please visit my websites vernoncolman.com and vernoncolman.org, where there are new articles most weekdays. Please remember that I'm banned from all social media and I do not have accounts on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Telegram or any other sites. I'm banned from even accessing YouTube, let alone putting videos there. Anything that appears in my name on social media is fake and should be labelled as such. The only sites I control are my own two websites, vernoncolman.org and vernoncolman.com. Finally, though it may feel like it at times, please remember you're not alone in being aware that the conspiracy is real and deadly. Distrust the government, avoid mass media and fight the lies. These are the most dangerous times in history. We must remain vigilant. Please share this and my other videos on the internet, on social media and on other platforms. I can't because I'm imprisoned here on my websites and banned worldwide for the modern sin of telling the truth. Please remember, God is on our side. And thank you for watching an old man in a chair.